The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Today is Monday of the fifth week of Easter. This is Father Stephen Reynolds of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Parish in Houston, Texas. The first reading from today's Mass, which is taken from the 14th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, describes one of the most unusual scenes in the New Testament. Paul and Barnabas are preaching in Lystra, and Paul heals a disabled man. And these apostolic healings, Paul's not the only apostle who is recorded in the scriptures as having healed the sick and the lame. These healings are a sign that the risen Lord continues to work through the church. They're a sign that his kingdom continues to be manifest and break into the world. And these healing miracles are also a sign that the words of the gospel, which Christ first preached and which St. Paul is now preaching, are true. So the miracles that are performed by the apostles are not just kind of acts of charity and mercy, they're certainly that, but they're meant to be a validation of the words that the apostles were speaking. They are a sign that the gospel is true, that the risen Lord is still at work. He's still dispensing his grace. Now, the miracle is not so unusual, quite frankly, when we look at all of the New Testament together. What is unusual in this scene is the reaction of the crowd. Because instead of reacting by accepting the gospel, being baptized, or even reacting in a violent way, as we see sometimes happening, instead of reacting that way, the townsmen of Lystra believe that Paul and Barnabas are really pagan gods, come down to earth in human form. They identify them with Zeus and Hermes. And the local pagan priests were understandably excited. Finally, one of their false gods has come to earth. And they try to offer sacrifice to the apostles. I mean, we were horrified by this reaction. So what are some of the lessons of this event? Well, I think first of all, it teaches us that we need to be aware of our experience, and that our experience, our predispositions, our cultural environment, our background, can dispose us to misunderstand or to apply a false interpretation to events, actions, or persons. That we can have a certain set of expectations which we then use to shape our view of reality rather than using reality to shape our expectations. I mean, for example, the popular culture of our time, and by popular culture I mean all those messages that we receive through, for example, social media, through the media at large, through television, through forms of entertainment, through popular literature, that sort of thing. The popular culture of our time is extraordinarily powerful and pervasive and has all sorts of technological instruments at its disposal to communicate its various messages. Now, we can use those means of communication, too. We're using it now. So the means are not distorted, but they can be used in a distorting way. And the popular culture, which is kind of the water in which we swim, is also mostly devoid of any semblance of the Christian spirit, especially as it relates to the meaning of life and the dignity of the human person. And the popular culture, for example, values will over the truth, values our choosing over what we choose. It gives greater emphasis to the exercise of our will and not too much emphasis to what we choose, which is far from the Christian spirit. The Christian spirit animates the believer to choose what is good, to use his will in an authentic and holy way, and not just to choose anything that appeals to him at the moment. And so the Christian spirit gives emphasis to the truth, number one, because ultimately the truth is a person, who is Jesus Christ. And only once we identify the truth, then can we use our will correctly. This is part of developing a Christian spirit, that we look not to just what we want or what attracts us, even if it's a good thing, but to look first at the ultimate truth, truth with a capital T. What does Jesus say about this? What does the Word of God say about this? And then choosing based on that understanding. Because we don't want to make the same mistake of the people of Lystra, offering worship to false gods while ignoring the presence of the one true God. So let us ask the Lord of truth to guide us so that we may always choose well. God bless you.